Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Verses 25 to 37, Luke chapter 10. Then looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, picking up at verse 31. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Verses 31 to 46, Matthew chapter 25. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, Lord, all of that and so much. You also let us know in your word, Lord, you are love. And you call us to imitate you. You call us to walk in love and to be vessels, your hands and feet in a world that desperately needs to be touched by your love, your compassion, and your mercy. Lord, stir us to be the church of mercy and compassion you've called us to be. Help us to love with our words, our actions, our attitude, with our entire beings. Help us to know that we give sacrificially because that's what you call every one of us to do, to show the world what your love really, really looks like. Help us to be faithful ambassadors every day of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Father, I ask that you teach us more on how to love well, in thanks, in the full confidence that you loved us while we were still sinners. Thank you so much for the cross. Thank you so much for calling us to be new creations, for giving us new hearts, for teaching us your ways, Father. Father, I ask that you'd help and push us to walk more in your likeness and to join you in your ministry. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. I want to keep reminding you, the website is 10laws.us. Again, that's 10laws.us. Brother Charlie Wysong, a great servant of the Lord who's been with us a number of times, is spearheading a project whereby he's seeking to help get 1 million yard signs out that have the Ten Commandments on in people's yards. And quite a few have gone out, but we have many more to go. So if you haven't gotten your yard sign yet, please prayerfully consider going to that website, 10laws.us, and put it out. Remember, sticking a sign in your yard that has the Ten Commandments front and back is a much more powerful witness than you might think. It's powerful to listen to some of the testimonies of things people have said that once they put it in their yard, the way their community has reacted, mostly good. But the fact is, it is a witness, remember, because there's power in God's word. So if you haven't gotten your yard sign yet, please prayerfully consider doing that. But also, along with that, or even if you don't end up getting a yard sign, please begin to pray the Ten Commandments every single day. There's power in praying the Word of God and great power and grace behind praying it for the church and for our nation. Let's take time to do that now. Lord, thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Lord, help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. And Lord, stir us more and more to be committed to reading and meditating on your word and living your word every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, that email, 10laws.us, to get your yard sign. We hope that you'll consider doing just that. And remember, let's pray the Ten Commandments every single day. We're very honored to have with us in studio today Lauren Kitchen Stewart. She, for those that have been listening to AFR a long time, you'll probably remember her name and when she talks her voice as well. But she's been a part of the AFR family for many years. But she's with us today and she's going to share a wonderful story about her adoption journey. So, Lauren, good to have you today.
It's so good to be here. And I want one of those yard signs.
Okay. We will help you to get one. So, but yeah. Again, if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself. Now, again, people that are longtime listeners would probably remember your name, but then we have lots of listeners who maybe weren't around when you've been on AFR in years gone by. Would you take time to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, the cool thing is that I was a TV news reporter, and Reverend Wildman was leading a campaign against NYPD Blue. Do you remember that back in 93?
I remember.
So that was the first TV show that was a little bit racy, kind of over the top. And he was like, we're not having that in our homes. So I was interviewing him about that show. And he goes, Lauren, you should consider going into radio. And I was like, I don't know anything about radio. He said, well, if you change your mind, you call me. And a couple months later, a lot of different things happened. And I said, is that job still available? And so he kind of moved things around and put me on the air in 93, and mm-hmm. that has been my career. Mm-hmm. And I was at AFR, then I was in Nashville, then I was in Los Angeles, Then right now I'm doing shows in Cincinnati and Louisiana. I'm doing talk and music. So It all started right here with Reverend Don Wildman. And then I've done shows here in between. I said, I'm like a boomerang. Mm-hmm. I keep coming back. I leave and I come back. I leave and I come back. But AFR means so much to me. And I'm so grateful to be here and talk about adoption, because it's something that so many people, I think, are affected by this day and age. When I was a kid, it was rare to adopt. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, my parents were married 11 years, did not think they could have children. Mm-hmm. They were in the process of adopting back in the 60s, and then all of a sudden my mother got pregnant with me, which happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I wish they had let her have that child, because I would love to have siblings, but they're like, we really need to give this child to someone that can't have their own kids. Mm-hmm. But I think this is what happened. I think I was a baby in her womb, and I knew all this was going on because I've always wanted to adopt. So when I was like knee-high to a tadpole, I begged my parents to adopt a child because I wanted siblings. Mm-hmm. And they just never did. I think I was too much of an armful or something. And So I'd wanted to adopt since I was about 5 years old.
Well, would you take a moment to pray for listeners to really be wide open to what the Lord may say? Because some people listening, God is calling them to adopt. But then there are some who maybe they may not be adopting, but it may be that God wants them to become intercessors for the ministry and the mission field of adoption. There's some who maybe God is calling them individually and as churches to give, because there's so much finances that often are involved in the picture. But different people that may be called in some way or another to get involved, would you pray for listeners to hear what God wants to say to them today?
Father, we thank you for each one of the family members of AFR that are listening right now. And that if anyone already has a desire to adopt, but they're not quite sure what they need to do, that I'm here. I know there's people that will talk to them and help them walk through it. Like Joseph said, maybe somebody is not even thought about it, but now all of a sudden their heart is pricked. Lord, you tell us to take care of the widows and the orphans, and whatever our part is to be in that process and that command that you give us, that we will be faithful. Lord, I thank you that you make a way where there seems to be no way, because it is a journey, but goodness gracious, how worth it it is, Lord. And we thank you for great things you're going to do out of this time that we have together. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. So, Lauren, now you and your husband, Robin, you all have adopted how many children?
We've adopted 3 children, and our daughter is 15 now. She was a year old. We adopted her from Nepal, which is in between India and China, and that was a very intense journey. So we flew 30-plus hours. You would have 10-hour layovers in, like, Hong Kong. I mean, it was a long journey to get there. And I was so green and young, didn't know what I was doing. And we go to meet with our own embassy, because you have to have an entrance visa and an exit visa. So we're sitting with our embassy, and they say to us, after we've flown cross-country, you will not take these children back to the United States.
So you're in the country, and they tell you you can't take the children with you. What was behind that?
It was just a bunch of red tape. It was things that were going on where they were saying these children had been abducted and they had not. I mean, every child had a file, you know, 10 inches thick, exactly where they were found, exactly what their story was. But it took a lot. But this was a huge moment for me. So we're heading back to the hotel. There was another couple that was actually from Mississippi. There were 11 couples in country at that time from different states.
You know, there to adopt.
And this couple that was from Starkville, Mississippi, I held Karen literally in my arms, and I said, if God wants these children to be ours, they will be.
I'm going to jump in right there, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Lauren Kitchen Stewart, and she's sharing her family's adoption journey. We'll be right back.
I long for your embrace. every single day to meet you in this place and see you face to face. Will you show me? Reveal yourself to me because of your mercy. I can feel your presence here with me. Suddenly I'm lost within your beauty. Caught up in the wonder of your touch. Here in this moment I surrender to your love.
The music of Mercy Me with Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Lauren Kitchen Stewart. And she's sharing about her family's adoption journey. Lauren, if you'll pick up where you left off there.
So we were in Nepal. We were told by our embassy, not theirs, that you will not bring these children home. A lot of people don't realize when you adopt a child internationally, you have to have an entrance visa into the country you're taking them into and an exit visa from the country they're going from. We ended up staying for 6 weeks. Some families stayed 6 months. We had congressmen, senators fighting for us in all the different states that were represented. Roger Wicker was very instrumental in trying to get Channing home. But finally, it was on my birthday. I remember September the 10th, 2010. We got to go back home. We can't keep staying in a foreign country, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And, you know, the thing about it that's so tremendous, I knew in my heart that my God was bigger than even our U.S. embassy. I never doubted that. I never doubted that if it was God's will that those children come home with us eventually, that they would. It was still trying. I flew home. Friends met me at the airport. I was living in California at the time. They gathered around me, and we all wept. And then I shook it off, and I said, it's going to work out. If God wants it to, it'll work out. We had to hire attorneys. 6 months later, I received an email that said, you've been approved. You can come back and get her.
Well, are you able to share why they didn't allow you initially to take them, even though when you arrived?
Because they were saying the children, they had to make sure that they were not abducted or stolen. And that really wasn't the case because they all had files that showed they had been abandoned. So in the United States, we have safe havens, where if a child is born and you cannot keep that child, you can take them to a fire station, a police station, a hospital. You can leave them, no questions asked. These countries don't have anything like that. So if they can't take care of their child, and Nepal is a very impoverished area, they have to tuck them away somewhere where they are found. So Channing was found under a bridge, under a bush. She was 3 days old and had pneumonia, and a policeman found her. So all that documentation was there. I still don't really understand, but it was a difficult time. But I'm telling you what, I saw who God was in my heart at that time, and it was quite a journey. So now she's a sassy 15-year-old, and I often try to remember the miracle story that she was.
So, but it was after you, after 6 months, you went back and you were able to get her that time then.
And I only had to stay 2 weeks, but it was still a difficult trip because I'm walking with trepidation everywhere I went till I got her home in United States soil and landed that plane in California. I was not going to rest easy. Even though I did trust him, I just wanted to know we could get her home. And all the children were able to eventually come back to the States.
Okay. Well, and so that was your first adoption from the country of Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we wanted to adopt more. And the second adoption is our son, Knox. He is 14. And at the time, China special needs was probably the most expedited process, the easiest to work with. And the only thing that was difficult for us is we were told he had cochlears. He had been deaf. He had cochlear implants. He spoke Chinese. He spoke English. We get to country, and he had never worn his cochlear, did not speak anything, and was 5 years old and very difficult, had attention deficit disorder, and I wept for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I told my husband, I'm not cut out for this. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with this. And my husband's big O 6'4", and he's like, I got this. I'm like, you better make sure you have it, because I don't have it. Because Channing was a one-year-old. Mm-hmm. She was a little infant. This is a five-year-old that, like, ran the orphanage. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was precocious. He had never been disciplined. So can you imagine a child at five that's never been disciplined? They don't believe in discipline there like we do. You would think in China it would be more intense. But they're an orphanage, Joseph. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to, like, sit down and instruct every single child. The orphanages are totally flooded. Mm-hmm. But I want you all to know, he is the most wonderful child. I cannot imagine life without him. He is funny. We're still having to work on sign language because he's leaning more towards that direction, even though he has cochlears and he can hear. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly like we hear. It's a little bit more robotic because it's processed sound, but he is a delight. Mm, total delight. So God has done a lot. He's 14.
He's 14. So you have a 15-year-old little girl and a 14-year-old son then, okay?
And they had so much fun because when we brought him home, he had just turned six, and she was seven, and they've grown up side by side together. And they fight like brothers and sisters, but they love each other. And then we had a big gap. We were trying to have our own as well, so I did want to kind of speak into that because a lot of people this day and age are dealing with infertility. Now, it's great because now there's so many things you can do that they didn't have back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But I will tell you this, if you feel like that you're having to deal with infertility and that God's forgotten about you, he doesn't see you, I had to come to a place, family, of saying, I want the children that you want for me. And I'm going to be content in that because that is very difficult to walk through, infertility and wanting children so much on your own. But I married much later in life. I didn't marry until I was in my 40s. And do not rush things also just because you're trying to be on the world's timetable. If the Lord hasn't brought that person, God will bring you children. We adopted our last child, and I would love to adopt another, when we were in our early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of a modern Abraham and Sarah. You know, you just, and I had a friend the other day that said, well, but they're not going to get to have you for that long. I was like, you don't know. We could live to be 120 years old older.
That's right.
And God will open the door. And then our youngest child is five. He is domestic adoption. So we were at the hospital right after he was born and brought him home as a newborn baby.
Okay, so you've adopted three. Okay, then. And what the youngest is, tell me that age again.
Five.
Five, then. Okay.
And he is the light of our life. He is black and Hispanic. And then Knox is Chinese and Channing is Indian. So we are quite the family.
Okay.
We're Caucasian. You can't see because this is radio. But the Lord will do such beautiful things. I never would have seen how extraordinary that he had orchestrated and planned it all out. You can trust him. He knows your heart. And I pray his heart collides with our hearts. And then we find each other in the middle and we become one heart. And like I said, I would love to adopt one more. Chambers wants a sister and he wants to name her Sweetie King. What do you think about that? And my husband's like, oh, my word. Maybe we will adopt out of foster care. I'm not sure. We're praying about it still.
I'm going to take time now specifically to pray in it because, you know, as you well know, foster care and the whole world of adoption is such a big mission field, and the need is so great. There's so many children in our nation in foster care and so many children all over the world that desperately need and desire to be adopted. And the reality is when people grew up in a family, they don't know what it's like for a child to long to have what they call a forever home. And so it's so important that we seek by the grace of God and His Holy Spirit to have a heart of compassion and a heart that's open to whatever God might be calling us to do. Absolutely. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the fact that
thank you, Jesus.
The whole mission field of foster care and adoption is such a big, big mission field. And Lord, the children that are caught up in these systems, again, have so many needs, so many challenges they have to deal with. So many children in foster care go from home to home to home. Some of them have been through abusive homes and tough situations and long to be loved, long to belong to a family. Lord, help us to seek to carry out your heart, to have your heart, whatever that might be, for us to be involved in this very important work of, in some way or another, helping with the needs behind foster care and adoption as well. Help us to be wide open to whatever you're calling us to do individually and collectively as the church. Lord, help us to be willing to look into it, to learn more about the needs there, and really ask your heart insofar as what you're wanting us to do. Help us to realize, Lord, that you call us to love. And there are children that are longing, just longing to be loved today and to belong in the family you would call them to be. Help us to be open, wide open to whatever you're calling us to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lauren, just a question here. Like if someone was to say, well Lauren, I've heard your story and I'm interested, what would you say are some of the most important steps a person should take as they're looking into either foster care and or adoption?
I would say get a lot of advice and wisdom from people that have already been through the system. So if anyone is interested, please know you can reach out to me. My email is laurenkitchens@gmail.com. You can call AFR 1-800-FAMILIES, and I will give them my phone number. I do not mind if you call me, because then it can help you figure out when you talk to people that have been through that, which way you want to go, because you have international and then you have domestic. It's very expensive, but they do have programs like Stephen Curtis Chapman's Shoshana's Hope, where they will fund adoptions for families that don't have that type of extra funding. Mm-hmm. Now, foster care is a whole different ball game, but they have foster care classes. You can go meet with your local foster care system, the people there, and they will help you decide what you need to do to get involved in the classes. And I believe you can go into foster care and say, we're only interested in children that are adoptable. Mm-hmm. The thing that's challenging about foster care that we're seeing, that if you want a younger child, they are very hard to find, because when they are born and they have nowhere to go, they immediately go into foster care, and sometimes they're still caught up in the court systems. So it's easier to get older children, children that are special needs, or a family of children, like multiple children. Mm-hmm. And God's going to make a way. Like I said, for us, I'm still praying about what the Lord wants us to do. So we are still in the process of, I don't feel like my quiver is quite full. Mm-hmm. Like I said, being an only child, I've always wanted a house full of children. And so I've had to say, Lord, wherever they are, bring them and give us wisdom as to where they are. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to be willing. You've got to be open, like you said, and He will fill in the gaps. But the Word talks about getting the counsel, and that it's important to get wise counsel from many. And I think that will help you make some decisions. When you have information, you don't feel like it's just out there floating around. You know, you can say, this is what I feel like I can do. This is what I want to do. And reach out to brothers and sisters in your church, in your community, your local foster care, and just start asking a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And there's so many different sides to it. I think of this, that you know, one of the realities behind foster care is that you have children who sometimes they're in the system, but they may have parents that have had all kinds of challenges, maybe a drug abuse problem or
in prison,
not stable for any of a number of different reasons, and parents who very much want to get their children back and fully intend to get them back. And so they're not in a position to be adopted. Mm-hmm. Yet there are sometimes where the parents never manage to get there to where they're able to get their children back. And you have children that sometimes may think, I need my dad or mom to come get me. And they want to be back with their parents, but for whatever reason, their parents aren't able to come and get them. And so the heartbreak of the child is part of what you're dealing with. But then again, you have those children who, again, their parents, by the courts, they will never get their children back. And so possibly can be adopted, but they come in so many different ages and categories with different challenges. Sadly, children who end up getting abused in the foster care system. So many different sides to it. But the need is for people who've been called by God to love these children. And I do know one of the challenges is that sometimes parents may think it's too heartbreaking. You know, I keep them for a while and then I have to say goodbye. But you know, I think of this, Lauren, one tough issue is it's not about us. It's about showing the love of Jesus to these precious children.
That's so right.
We'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Lauren Stewart, and she's sharing her family's adoption journey. We'll be right back. David Crowder with How He Loves. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Lauren Stewart, and she's been sharing about her family's adoption journey. Lauren, would you, if someone is interested in connecting with the adoption ministry that worked with you, how would they do that?
It's New Beginnings. Actually, we have a couple, but New Beginnings, I'm not sure which countries, they're mainly domestic, and they are in Tupelo, Mississippi, but they work with families anywhere nationwide, and you can contact them at newbeginningsadoptions.org, and if you pull up New Beginnings Tupelo, Mississippi on the internet, it'll give you all their information, and they can help you walk through things. With our youngest, Faithful Adoptions is who we went through in Atlanta, Georgia, and they are a Christian organization as well. The thing about Faithful, they are consultants. So they're a little bit different because adoption agencies are only working with the mothers, the birth mothers that come to them. When you hire a consultant, you set up a profile, you tell them what you're looking for, and then they find children for you. And they'll send you files and say, hey, are you open to this case, this case, this case? And everybody that says yes, then they present those families to the birth mother. And the birth mother chooses. So our youngest, Chambers, his birth mother, chose us. And so faithful is another good way to go. And I would reach out to both of them, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you can also set up a profile on Rainbow Kids. Rainbow Kids. And you can click all the countries that you're interested in. If you only want domestic, if you want boy or girl, the age that you want. And whenever there's a match to what the profile is that you set up, they will let you know through an email, you have a match, which is how we found Knox, our son from China. And then they tell you who the organization is that has the file on that child. But New Beginnings did all of our home studies. Mm-hmm. And then after you bring a child home, whether it's for international or whether it's domestic, you have to do home studies ahead of time and then after. They check on the children, make sure they're okay, do write-ups, things like that. And so New Beginnings is like family to us.
And of course, when you say home studies, you're speaking of just a good bit of the preliminary requirements families have to go to before they qualify. Is that mm-hmm. right?
And you have to do that before and after. So mm-hmm. they come after you get home with your child too mm-hmm. to check on things. And you and I were talking about this off the air, that it is a difficult process. You forget about all the red tape after you get that child home.
Mm-hmm.
And God will give you the strength to get through it. But it is a lot of paperwork. You have to do a profile book that has pictures and all these things. Now, a lot of the agencies now, you can pay them a fee and they will do it for you. They'll go on your Facebook, on your social media, they'll pull all the pictures, they'll put it together, and you don't have to deal with it if you're busy and you're working, both of you are working. And some agencies will adopt, believe it or not, two single parents.
Mm-hmm.
And some consultants will adopt to single parents.
So some do and some don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you kind of have to just look at the different programs to see. But some countries will adopt to single parents.
So it just depends on the particular country and or agency that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. And if you call New Beginnings or you call Faithful Consultants, you can kind of tell them a little bit about who you are, what your story is, what you're interested in, and they can help direct you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll know, you know, what category you fit into. Some agencies only adopt certain ages of parents. You have to be at least 30 and you can't be over 50. Some don't have an age limit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some, like you said, you have to be married and you have to have been married 5 years. Everyone's different, but you'll find your way. Don't give up. Keep pressing in because it is totally worth it.
Would you pray for churches to really seek the Lord's wisdom about how to help facilitate the whole ministry of adoption? Because there's so many ways, there's so many things the church, the local church can do to help undergird a family, to help walk alongside and support them and encourage them. So would you pray for the church to have that heart and that mind to do
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And I was going to tell you as well before I pray that when you're a member of a church, a lot of times they will do a fundraiser for you,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll help you raise money mm-hmm. for bringing that child home, whether they're international or domestic.
Right, and it's good for churches to learn what they can do, because mm-hmm. there's so much the church can do to be a secondary family to help through the process. So would you pray for the church in that regard? So.
Father, we pray for churches to realize the importance of them coming alongside their parishioners that want to adopt. I think about our church here, St. Luke United Methodist in Kingsgate, that came alongside us and helped us with our adoption from China, and so many friends that gave to us and stood with us. But for churches to realize that they can help these families in such a tremendous way, because it's very expensive. But if every family in that church even just gives $5 or $1, you could have enough for one adoption. We all come together as one big family, one big church family. Great things happen. And I know that Joseph and I have talked, too, about churches that come together and they adopt children because they provide the money and the funding for the families, and they consider that like something they're doing as a church home. And it's so important that we follow what the Word says, and take care of these children. I mean, I really wish every single family in the United States had a child there that's either out of foster care or been adopted. I think that would be tremendous because it's going to be a blessing. I can't fathom, Lord, life without our three youngest children and how you've beautifully brought them. And I want the listening family to know that you are faithful, you're sovereign, and that when we say, my quiver doesn't feel full, I'm going to give it to you, you fill them up, fill it up with the children you've handpicked to be there, that you will be so good to do that. You say if we ask, that you'll answer. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, that you will open the door. And this is near and dear to your heart. And so I pray as well against fear and apprehension, and that peace will just replace that. If you've handpicked someone listening right now to adopt, if you've picked a church that you want to be involved in coming alongside families to adopt, that you will ignite their spirits in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We know, Lauren, we were talking about this. In recent months, the very powerful movie Sound of Hope, The Story of Possum Trot, a church in Texas that had many families that adopted quite a large number of children out of foster care and ended up adopting them. You know, one, I would encourage every listener to make it your business to watch that movie. It's a powerful mm-hmm. movie. It tells the story of this wonderful church that took it upon themselves to do that and felt called and did that. Yet at the same time, it didn't paint the prettiest of pictures. It showed the very tough side of that, to where at times the families were really struggling in view of the fact that some of the children came from abused homes, neglected homes, had brought a lot of baggage with them, and they were human.
Yeah.
Who'd been through a lot of tough situations, tough things, and that's the way real life is. Yet at the same time, by God's grace, the families were able to carry through with the adoptions, you know. And I think it's so important for us with adoption and foster care and adoption as well. It's helpful to understand every side of it's not pretty. Mm-hmm. Some sides are just downright tough. And there were, I recall one of the one of the families where she just felt like
she couldn't do it
anymore. But God got them through it. So, but thoughts that come to your mind about words you can encourage people even in the midst of the tough times?
You've got to think about the child. Like, I think about our son, Knox. Imagine me being in China, weeping. And Joseph, you know me, I'm a pretty sturdy old girl. Mm-hmm. And I am weeping, thinking, I can't do this. And my husband said, we can do this, and we had people praying for us. This child is the light of our life now at 14. Mm-hmm. You press in. Now, you do have to be careful when you already have children in your home, who you're mm-hmm. going to bring in your home. Mm-hmm. So those of you who don't have any children yet, or your children are grown and out of the house, you probably have more of a capacity to bring a child in that's been exposed to abuse, because you want to protect your children that are already in the home. But God will make a way. And Joseph, when you're filling out the paperwork and you're having to do the books with the pictures, and I'm talking paperwork, I'm talking a lot, like pages and pages and pages. And then you're having to do the home studies where they're coming in your home. I mean, and you feel like it's invasive and you're going, oh my word, people that have a child don't go through this. Mm-hmm. Like you want to go, anybody that can get pregnant can be a mother, but yet I want to be a parent and I'm having to go through all this rigmarole. And mm-hmm. we have not been through the foster system, so I know that is difficult as well. But like mm-hmm. I said, I think if you want children that are adoptable, Joseph, you can tell them, I want children where the parents' rights have been terminated and they are adoptable. But some of you, you're like, I'm fine with that. I'm fine just fostering. Mm-hmm. And you got to go to the Lord and say, Father, this is what I feel like I can do. And if I can do more, let my heart know. And I just want to be obedient. But I'm telling you, from having three adopted children, they are tremendous, beautiful souls. And sometimes our daughter that's 15, you know, need I say more, her being 15. And sometimes I'll go, well, I hope life with us is better than the orphanage. And she'll go, oh, Mom. So, you know, I mean, it really is an honor and a privilege.
We know, Lauren, our time is just about completely gone here, though, but thank you so much for coming and sharing.
Thank you for having
me. I think there's so many ways in which people who desire to get involved with adoption or just want to learn more, maybe learn how they can be supportive, have picked up on that, and it's a good way for them to begin to do their own research to learn more about it as
Press
well.
Press in, so, don't give up.
Amen. Amen. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved, a good day to commit your life to Christ and be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. My email again is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to get into your possession, into your hands, literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Once again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Lauren, again, thank you so much for coming and sharing.
So
and,
good to be here.
Would you share the New Beginnings website one more time again?
NewBeginningsAdoptions.org. NewBeginningsAdoptionsWithAnS.org.
All right. Thanks so much, Lauren, for being with us. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.